He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on. He's able to meet every need that we have in our life, and He will hold us fast. Again, thank you for being here today. Let me just say one other word. I'm going to quit harping on it, but again, I want to encourage you to be back tonight. A choir practice, a regular time, our regular service at 7 o'clock. However, if you do not come or feel like you can't come, please join us on the internet. You can at least take time to listen to the messages. I had Justin check a while ago, and we don't have much more than what we have normally on there. And I realize some people don't have access, but I would encourage you to let's utilize what we have and at least listen to the message. But I appreciate those of you that are here. It's an encouragement to me. I had dreams last night that I'd be preaching to one or two. So y'all outdid me, and I appreciate it. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Before I get started, let me just again mention, it's amazing to me how God works. I'm very seldom do I have a message ready to go for Sunday morning on Monday. However, that happened this past week. And that was before all this other stuff began to blow up, and the schools were canceled, and everything began to take shape as it was. However, I don't believe I could have found a better passage to preach on than what I'm going to preach on this morning. And even on Monday night, I believe it was Monday night or Tuesday night, Jane Shiver called me. It was about 9:30 or 10, and I don't know if she's listening this morning. If she is, I know she wouldn't mind, but she called and said, "Preacher, I just needed to talk to you." And I said, "Well, that's fine." And so we talked and, of course, had prayer with her. And there again, this has been a very difficult time for her, and you need to continue to hold her up in prayer. But she said, "I just want to share something with you." She said, "I want to share with you a blessing of a verse that God used to speak to my heart tonight." And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "Joshua 1, verse number 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." Could I pick a better passage? And really, this was before it ever got bad, I thought. "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." I said, "Jane, it's funny, but I've been working on that verse today, and I'm preaching on Sunday morning." And again, she rejoiced with me as we saw the hand of God in everything that we do. This morning, I want to speak to you today on guidelines to serving God successfully. Guidelines to serving God successfully. Let's bow and ask God's blessings upon His precious word today. Father, we do thank You for the word of God. We thank You that it's quick and it's powerful. Lord, there's so many verses to comfort our hearts this morning. But Lord, honestly, if I'd have been picking it based on the circumstances of today, that would have been one I picked. But Lord, I did not. I chose it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I thank You today that we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. We're in the hands of God. And Lord, You and You alone are the only one that's able to protect us and watch over us. Lord, I don't believe that we're to be foolish or careless. I believe we ought to take precaution and do whatever needs to be done. But yet, Lord, I thank You today that we can come together, rightfully open the truth of the Word of God and share it and hopefully be a blessing to those that are here. Lord, may we today draw strength from the Word of God. May we leave here today praying one for the other and praying for this virus and praying for all that transpires. But Lord, most of all, that You'd speak to our heart. And we'll thank You now for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Somebody said the road to success is always under construction. I guess that might be the way. Somebody said, "Have you been successful?" I would say, "I don't know yet. My life is not over." The fact of it is, success does not lie in what we've done, but literally our success lies in where we're at, basically, when we end. People will not remember us at the end of our life about the good things we did early in our life, but they'll remember us about the bad things we did in the latter part of our life if we turn against the Lord. I believe all of us today want success. I believe today that we're sitting here talking to a bunch of people that have been very successful as far as their relationship with the Lord and serving Him and raising their families, and we see God's blessings upon that in many people's lives. But I want you to understand today, the success is not measured by what this world has to offer. Success is not measured by how great a job we have or how great an education we have obtained or how popular we might be or how many people may know us. Our success, I believe, is in the eyes of God and is based upon those who have striven, if that's a word, to try to do the will of God and be faithful to Him in all that they do. I don't know if some of you might be old enough to remember back in 1972, a long time ago, but there was a young lady by the name of Kathy Rigsby. She was determined that she was going to win the gold medal in the Olympics. It was in Munich, Germany. And so she determined that she was going to win it, and she began a regiment of activity to prepare for that and to train. And she trained and she trained. She ate right. She ate the right diet. But she got to Munich, and she did not succeed in winning the gold medal. It crushed her. She had worked so hard to obtain that, and now here she had lost it when she had opportunity to leave the floor and go into the stands where her mom and dad were. She went and fell on her mom's shoulder and began to weep uncontrollably. And she kept saying, "I'm sorry, but I did my best. I'm sorry, but I did my best." And her mother said, "Honey, that's all we expected you to do, was do your best. And that's all God expects you to do, is do your best." So my question this morning, are you doing your best? I remember a song, that may be the name of it, living the best or living for Jesus, a life that is true, whatever. But we need to understand today that these words mean so much. Doing the best is more important than being the best. Friend, all God wants is our reasonable service. He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Now, the text before us today, we find, comes at a very crucial time in the life of Moses and Joshua. Moses is about to die, or he has died, actually. And Joshua is standing there in a similar circumstance that we're facing even today. He's looking over the muddy Jordan, and he's evaluating the situation, and he has no idea what's on the other side. He must be wondering about it. He must be dreaming about it. He must even be possibly worrying about it a little bit. He might even be a tad fearful about it. But one thing he does not do, he does not draw back from it. We see that he continues to move forward. He stood anxiously gazing across there, looking and thinking about all those things. But what he was pondering is the will of God and being successful as a leader for God and fulfilling the shoes of the man that he had just been the grave and following in his footsteps to be successful in all that he do. I want to give you this morning 6 steps to, I believe, success in the life of the Christian. I know you said 6 points. We'll be here a while. I'll do my best to get you out, but just in case you're not coming back tonight, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to punish you. I'll get through it. But anyway, we're going to look at it and trust these will be a blessing. I will move through them quickly. First of all, we need to develop and practice a positive attitude toward life. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us was born to die. Did you know that? Every one of us was born to die. We sing that song at Christmas about the Lord Jesus. But friend, the day that I was born in this world, I began to die. And literally, I know that I'm closer now than I've ever been, but I understand that I'm in the hand of God. And I want to read the scripture to you because I feel it's important. But let me tell you where Joshua was. In verse number 2, the Bible said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life." I like that, don't you? He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear to the fathers to give them." Again, isn't it amazing? He said in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that thou must observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And because I've already read 8 and 9, I'll not repeat them, but you understand the situation that he was in. The Bible said in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, here's what Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Do you know today our attitude determines our altitude? Friend, I tell you what, we live in a society today, it's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to be fearful. It's easy to be afraid. And again, don't misunderstand me. I think it's wise, and we're, as a church, going to do everything in our power to take precautions. But understand what I'm saying today. A great attitude goes a long way. For when you have a bad attitude, listen, life becomes a grindstone. We find it becomes a grindstone in our life. Somebody said, what is a pessimist? A pessimist is one who feels bad when he feels good for fear he'll feel bad when he feels good, or feels better, excuse me. Let me read that again. I'll read it like it's supposed to be. A pessimist is one who feels bad when he feels good for fear he'll feel worse when he feels better. Another one said, a pessimist expects nothing on a silver platter except tarnish. Friend, I tell you today, we serve a great God. And I'm grateful today that Joshua had a positive attitude about what he was doing. It was nothing new to him. He had had a good attitude all along. If you remember, he and Caleb was part of the spies that were sent over into the promised land. They didn't come back and said, "Oh, we just can't do it. We can't tackle this. Boy, it's beyond us." Oh, no, they come back and said, "Hey, they're over there, the giants and everything's there. But, hey, we can take them." But yet, because the others said no, they wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years. The Bible said in Numbers 14, 8, and 9, here's what they said. "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us the land that floweth with milk and honey." There's the key word. If the Lord delighteth in us, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Friends, with the Lord on our side, we should never be in an impossible situation to fear what life brings our way. I said in the call out yesterday, C.S. Lewis said, in fearless times, the church needs to be fearful times, the church needs to be fearless. And friend, again, you understand what I'm saying, but many of God's people, maybe we don't have the right attitude about it. But friend, my attitude is today, and again, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying today. I realize there's people that aren't here this morning that probably don't need to be here. I understand that, okay? I'm not preaching that. But I'm saying today, if we're here and God's given us fairly good health, and if we're able to come together and worship Him, listen, God is going to watch over us and protect us, and nothing can harm us or nothing can come against us. Our allegiance to the past will determine our advancement in the future. Many of God's people are so shackled with the past that considering the future stops them from doing anything in the present. We must rely on the sufficiency that we have in Christ. Whether your past is good or bad, friend, today we can get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. He said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of people today, they wallow in the past. They said, "Oh, I messed my life up. I've sinned, and I've done this, and I've done that." Friend, thank God today we serve a forgiving God. And I tell you today, He forgives us in everything we do. Second of all, recognize and appreciate the special presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life. I tell you, I preached last Sunday about never alone. And I tell you today, we're never alone in the sight of God. In Joshua 1, verse 5, "There should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." What a promise that he gave to Joshua. Somebody said, well, he gave it to Joshua, he didn't give it to me. Well, I believe it's in the Word of God because I believe God inserted these things into the Word of God to encourage and strengthen our heart. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, 19-20, for he that is joined to the Lord's is one spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. His presence gives us assurance. Friend, I tell you this morning, if nobody would have showed up, even if my wife would have stayed home, I would not have been alone had I come to the house of God today, because he promised me he would always be with me. He would be my helper. He would be my spiritual power. God told Joshua, there shall not any man. What a great promise. But friends, the promise is true for us also. As long as we're in the center of God's will, as long as we're doing what God would have us to do, he'll protect us. He'll provide for us. And we're to go about his business doing what he said. Do you remember many times in the Word of God, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. There's many things that I may need to refrain from, but I do not need to refrain from doing my Father's business as much as I possibly can. His presence gives us ability. When one can claim the victory through the power of God, I think how often it is that we need to see that we can trust God in every circumstance and every situation. I told somebody the other day, I said, I wouldn't want to get on the plane right now. And I meant to mention last a while ago and ask you to pray for Cal, because he's getting on one this afternoon going to California. But he's doing it. His job's taking him there, and God will protect him, watch over him. You need to pray for him as he goes. And I meant to mention that in a prayer request a while ago. Brother Wee, that normally they're here, texted me just a moment ago on the platform and said that his daughter was sick and had a runny nose and various things, and they just felt like they need to stay home. And I confer with that. I think they did the right thing. He said, please pray for us. So I'm asking you, if you would, to pray for Wee, his family, and his little girl. I'm asking you to pray for Cal. And listen, that's what God wants us to do. But we must understand, he gives us the ability to know that he will never leave us. And even if I have to get on a plane, he's going to get on there with me. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. Then we find on quickly the strength and develop courage by claiming God's promise. Friend, today I'm glad you came. Because honestly, is there anything else today that... You know what people are going to do while they're going through this? They're going to go rent a bunch of movies. And they're going to sit there and all for 2 weeks, man. People's going to go up on movies. What y'all do is find some good preaching. I tell you, any of these evangelists we have, you can find on the internet, you can find YouTube messages of them. I tell you what we need today. We need the Word of God to strengthen us and encourage us. And that's why he says, be strong and of good courage. And we need to understand his faithfulness gives us courage. You know why I have the courage I have today? Is because he has never failed me. And furthermore, he will never fail me. And irregardless of what happens, I'm in his will. And it takes courage to believe and to have courage that he will be faithful in the end. His faithfulness gives us conviction. Conviction simply means a firm belief. Friend, do we trust God or do we not trust God? I talked to another pastor. By the way, we're not the only church we're having church today. I talked to several pastors and all over, and they said, hey, we're going on until something drastic prevents us from having services, and we're going on with it. But I talked to one in particular, and he brought up something. He said, you know, he said, I kind of even feel bad even talking about this. And I said, yeah? He said, yeah. He said, you know, the disciples, the early church, they met in fear of somebody was going to come and kill them. But they met anyway. And he said, we let little things hinder us from serving God and being faithful. We look for ways that we can, you know, worry about it. But listen, these guys knew the reason they could worship God is because they knew that the enemies could not get to them unless he allowed them to. They were trusting God. Psalm 91, verse 1 through 4, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. In Psalm 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we have strength and courage if we follow God and follow in His will to do what He would have us to do. Friend, I tell you today, God's faithfulness knows and helps me to know that He'll never fail. Do you know, sadly today, we think about it, and again, I mentioned this in Sunday school, and I hate to keep riding it, but back in 09, we had the swine flu, 61 million people affected by it, 12,500 in the United States died, but I don't think it hardly rippled our economy. I don't think schools ever closed down. I surely don't remember churches closing down. In fact, I don't remember very much about it except the swine flu was going around. I'm simply saying today, listen, this thing could turn into something drastic, and I pray it don't. But I tell you, until it does, listen, and even after it does, if it does, we're going to trust God and depend upon Him. You see, God is going to give us the strength that we need. Fourthly, follow without turning away the teachings of the Word of God. Follow without turning away the teachings of the Word of God. Look what he said in verse 7. He said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word is the only word for success. When you get home today, you'll turn on the news to see what the latest is. I tell you, it's going to be discouraging because anything they can find negative, they're airing it as quickly as possible. But I tell you, if you really want strength today to understand God's way of success, it's in the Word of God. You see, no man is uneducated who knows the Bible. You may not. My dad didn't even graduate from school. But I tell you, he may have been uneducated, but he wasn't uneducated because he knew the Bible. And no one is wise who is ignorant of its teaching. I tell you, these guys, we got some smart guys that are trying to come up with a cure. But I'll tell you today, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they've missed the total way of success doing what needs to be done. The Word of God is the only wisdom for service in the Word of God. Somebody said, Thomas Guthrie said, "The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road. It's a chart for every sea. It's a medicine for every malady and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible and our sky has lost its sun." I thought that was pretty good. The Bible says, and we fully must understand today, that the Word of God holds the wisdom of all that we do and say. Amen. Fifthly, cause your mind to meditate on holy and wholesome thoughts. Don't go home and worry about getting the coronavirus. Chances of you getting it are very slim, I think. But what good is it going to do to worry about it? Just put your faith and trust in God. Joshua 1:8 said, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." In Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." I'm glad you came today because we're talking about things that are true. He said, "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," you know what he said? He said, think on these things. I found this week I was, somebody had sent me another pastor that was giving a little speech about they were going to have services in another city. And he gave very confident speech. And I appreciated what he said. But I'm telling you today, we must meditate on that which is holy. And by the way, could I tell you something? Jesus may come take us out of here before that thing gets spread very far anyway. I believe it could be today. Honestly, I believe these are just signs of the times that we're living in. I don't believe this is going to end at all. I believe it's going to be something else and something else, something else. And what else would the devil like to send our way that's something that would keep us out of church? I can't think of anything that he would want to use any more than to close us down, because he don't want your mind being infiltrated with the Word of God, which it ought to be if you're a child of God. Our minds must be guarded. Daily, our minds are bombarded with images of the evil world. The human mind is a seedbed for that which is corrupt. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. What was God instructing Joshua to do? He said, don't lose your focus, folks. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen today, God is still in control. Do you believe that this morning? Do you know that we can trust Him to meet every need that we have in our life? And I'm grateful today for God's protections. Our mind must be guided. All the actions of our mind are all the actions of man are controlled by our mind. You remember last Sunday night, those of you that were here, I preached on what we think is what we are, what we do. And I'm going to continue that thought, but I'm going to tell you, this is the, you know, our mind is sometimes our worst enemy, because our mind runs away, and I think this is what's happened here all over the United States today. Our people's minds have just, you know, it's a panic. I mean, the grocery stores are empty. You can't get anything, but yet they went out to the grocery store to get it, but yet they're worried about it. But here's what Woodrow Wilson said. He that will not command his thoughts will soon lose command of his actions. And that's exactly what happens when we don't command our thoughts. We'll lose control of our actions and following God and being obedient to Him. Somebody said, with the heart, or not somebody said, the Word of God said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Yet the character of man's thoughts has a great deal to do with our success or our failure. He is influenced by what we think. Philippians 4:8 gives us a list of things to think upon. I just read that verse a while ago. But I'm telling you today, friend, we need to think positive thoughts. If there's ever a time we need to hear the Word of God, it's today. And I'm serious. This message would have probably been totally different. And I think what set it off was they started closing schools. And everybody panicked and went into the panic mode. I believe if that hadn't happened this week, we'd probably had a normal crowd this morning. But I'm simply saying this. The truth of it is, we cannot be overtaken by what everybody around us does. But we must understand the truth of what God says. And we need to think on the things of God. And we need to dwell on them in order that our minds might be guided to do that which is right. And again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. Lastly, I told you I would get you through it. But I know where I was going a while ago. But it's amazing to me that God gave me this message even before all this stuff blew up this week. But don't allow yourself to be discouraged. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you, they got the kids out of school. Hey, if you can do it, go home. Shut the door. Stay there. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But while you're there, why don't you spend time with God? Allow Him to work in and through it. And don't allow yourself to become discouraged. I really think about elderly people, that some that live alone. I think how hard they can get to the point. And listen, I've had to stay in with my foot for a while, and I know what it's like to get stir crazy. And I know it'd be hard. But listen, the devil wants to discourage us. And we need to allow ourselves to listen to the things of God. Discouragement is one of the most powerful tools of the devil to to stop the work of God. And you know what God wants? Excuse me. God wants us to go forward. But you know what the devil wants? He wants to stop the church in its tracks. Who's to say this thing's going to be over in 2 weeks? Who's to say it's going to be over in 3 months? So are we going to abandon God? I mean, are we just going to say, well, I guess we got to stay till it's cleared up? Friend, I don't think so. I think we're just going to go on and keep trusting God and understand that it's power in the plan to stop the work of God. And he wants to do it. We hated to cancel the youth rally. We can't go to YDC anymore. They've canceled it. And I think it's probably a wise thing. They don't need people bringing sickness in. We don't want to have a youth rally and bring somebody from the outside in here that could contaminate somebody. We're going to take precautions. But friend, we're going to trust God that he'll meet our needs. Encouragement, on the other hand, is a powerful friend. It's the devil's greatest tool, but it's a powerful friend. It strengthens the weak. It imparts courage to the faint-hearted, and it gives hope to the faltering. Discouragement is best dispelled by strong faith. God told Joshua, "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Joshua had a great task before him. But I tell you, he could have easily had a negative attitude. He could have easily lost his faith. He could have easily got discouraged and said, "No, I'm not doing this." But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he proceeded. Attitude, relying on the Holy Spirit of God, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Don't become discouraged. Friend, I promise you, it's going to be all right. No matter what happens, it's going to be all right. As a child of God, the worst thing's going to happen to us if death comes, we're going to be with him. But the other thing, if Jesus comes back, we're all going to be with him. And we're not going to have to worry about it anyway. Thank you today. And I pray that God would help us, that our faith today would be strengthened and encouraged. And again, I cannot emphasize enough, if you're coughing, if you're sneezing, your runny nose, fever, listen, for everybody's sake, stay home, watch it on the internet. I have no problem with that. But friend, if you're able and you want a blessing, let's come and trust God to meet the needs that we have in our life at this time, during this crucial time that we're going through. Our Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, again, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me.